What a difference a Sunday makes. The last time I was here, there were a lot more people here. I hope that I can still deliver God's word. Hopefully, all of you here, and certainly some of you young people, can relate to my opening illustration. One of my favorite characters in animated movies is Shrek.
就是我最喜欢的这个动画片里面的一个主角呢，他的名字就叫史瑞克。
How many of you are familiar with this character, Shrek?
你们有多少人知道就是史瑞克 okay.
That's all the people who are young and young at heart should be raising their hand.
Okay. 我觉得所有的这些年轻人或者心里还年轻的人呢，都应该举手。
Now, if you don't know who he is, he's a lovable giant.
如果你不知道他是谁的话呢，那我就告诉你，他是一个非常可爱的一个巨人。
At least he's tall and big.
最起码他是又大又高的。
He looks imposing, but he is generally very friendly.
他看上去有点就是可怕哈，但是总的来说他还是蛮友好的一个巨人。
And remember that he has a constantly talking, wisecracking donkey.
你知道吧，他有一个。 不断的讲俏皮话的一个驴陪着他。
And he has a sad-eyed, swashbuckling cat for companion.
然后他还有另一个就是眼神忧郁又很潇洒的一个伴侣，就是陪伴哈，是一个猫。
I mean, wouldn't you like to have that kind of giant for a friend?
你们也会不会喜欢这样的一个巨人做你的朋友呢？
Realistically, though, we have giants in our lives that are not so friendly.
然而实际上呢，我们的生活中都有这样的巨人呢，然而却不是那么的友好。They can
create fear, they can terrorize us, they can drag us down.
这些巨人呢，会给我们带来恐惧感，可能会恐吓我们，而且会让我们觉得情绪低落。And
maybe you have giants in your own life.
也许呢，你们自己的生命中呢，也有这样的巨人。Maybe
the giants of anger, lust, secular values, which is really anything that's contrary to God and His Word.
也许呢，是这个恐惧啊，或者情欲，或者这个属世的一些试探，让你能够远离神。
And I think many of us have struggled with how do you conquer those giants? Because these giants are giants of sin. And I think all Christians struggle with something in our lives that appear to be a giant.
我相信所有的基督徒呢，都在生命中会面对这样的挑战，这样的巨人。And we
think they're so big that they're impossible to conquer.
我们认为呢，它太大了，以至于我们无法战胜。But
I think that the story that I think that we're all familiar with, I hope that I could bring some new insights into the story of David and Goliath.
我希望呢，就是我们大家都熟悉的这个大卫与歌利亚的这个故事呢，能给我们带来一些新的看见。And
I think in this story, we see the key to how to discover to conquer those giants.
我觉得呢，这个故事里面呢，会给我们带来如何能够战胜这些巨人的关键点。Now
first, we're going to look at what Goliath has to offer.
那首先呢，我们来看一下哈，就是这个巨人，这个歌利亚给我们带来些什么东西。
And then what David brings to the table.
然后再看一下大卫给我们带来什么东西。
Now let's first look at Goliath's resources.
让我们首先来看一看这个歌利亚他有什么就是资源。
But before I do, I better set the scene for you, because maybe some of you are not familiar with the story.
那个在我 讲故事之前呢，我先给大家讲讲这个场景。也许有些人对这个故事不是那么的熟悉。
This takes place during the time of King Saul.
这个事情呢，发生在这个扫罗做王的时候。
And you might remember that he was the very first king of Israel.
你们是不是记得哈？扫罗是以色列的第一个王。
Now what's sad is that Israel.Decided they didn't really want God to rule over them. They really wanted to have a king to rule over them.
就是很不幸哈，就是当时的以色列人呢，他们不想让神做他们的带领，他们希望像外邦人一样有一个国王做他们的带领。
See, the idea is that they didn't want God to be king, but they want some sort of human leader, just like the other countries around them.
就是很不幸哈，他们不想让神来带领。而是说，就是像其他的这些族一样，有一个人物作为国王来带领他们。
Now remember, King Saul was chosen among different people, and his outstanding trait was that he was tall.
就是你记得哈，就是当时扫罗被拣选的时候呢，他在一群人被选。那他一个很主要的品格呢，就是一个特点呢，就是他非常的高。
He was probably good looking as well.
他也许可能长得也还挺蛮潇洒的。
The Bible says that he kind of stood head and shoulders above other people. So you can imagine these people, and then you see Saul, his head sort of sticking out over all the other people.
所以就是，如果你记得那个故事的话，你就会觉得当时就是一群人，这个扫罗站在当中就有一点那种鹤立鸡群的感觉。
And you might remember that when Israel moved into the Promised Land, that God told them to conquer all the people that were there.
就是记得嘛，当时的以色列人呢是被带到这个应许之地，神要让他们能够就是征服那个地。
But they struggled with this because they left some of the people, the pagan heathen people in the land, and they left them there and didn't conquer them, and as a result, they came back to haunt them.
就是结果呢，就是当时他们这个以色列人没有做得非常的彻底，他们留下了一些人，没有把他们全部都就是战胜，结果这些人就成了他们的饥饿哈，然后后来这些人就开始来征服，反而来过来征服以色列人。
One of the groups that they left there was the group of people called the Philistines.
就是有一组的人就是非利士人，他们没有消灭。
Now they lived along probably what we would call Gaza. You know that part we're talking about that's next to the Mediterranean Sea.
所以你记得不？就是他们有一些这些非利士人呢，就是住在这个加沙地带哈，就是非利士人的地方。
They were pagan people. They did not believe in the God of Israel, the God of.The Old Testament, the God of Israel.
那他们呢都是外邦人，他们不相信圣经里以色列的神。
And they believed in a God that called the fish God, called Dagon.
那他们呢是就是他们也有自己的偶像，就是一个像鱼形的，他们叫鱼形的这样的偶像。
I suppose that's natural considering they were next to the sea and they naturally worship fish.
对，因为他们就是在那个地中海。沿岸嘛，因为他们在海边，那很自然的，他们就去这个敬拜像这个鱼形的这样的神。
So the Philistines were a constant enemy and threat to the people of Israel.
所以，就非利士人呢，成为这个不断的来挑战以色列人的这样的一个人群。
And here we see in 1 Samuel 17 that Saul.Is now trying to fight, or the Israel is trying to fight the Philistines.
所以我们在这个撒母耳上呢十七章这里看到，就是说扫罗就是要跟这个非利士人决战。
And you see this confrontation in this valley, the valley of Elah.
所以就在这个河谷地带呢，那他们就是摆开了这个阵势。
You can picture this. There is this valley, and you have on either side of the valley two opposing armies.
所以你就可以想象哈，就是山谷地带，然后这个对山谷的对面呢，就是这两个敌对的阵营。
And from the army of the Philistines comes this person called Goliath.
然后就是从非利士人这一队呢，就出来了这么个人，他就叫格利亚。
And he could probably be seen without even stepping out from the group because that is one of his physical resources.
这个人呢，他只要站在那儿都不用向前，大家都能看见他。那也是因为他的这个外形。
I would call this a positive way, I guess, if you look at it from a battle or a angle, his strength.
那所以如果要是从这个打仗呢，我们从正面来看，那就是他的这个力量。
He was 9 feet 9 inches tall.
这个人呢有9尺9。
You remember the basketball player Yao Ming that was from China?
你们记得不记得这个姚明，那个很有名的中国的这个打篮球的。
He was really the first Chinese basketball, professional basketball player in this country.
他是第一个就是职业的中国篮球手在美国这个职业。
Well, if you compare him, if you compare him to Goliath, he looks like a midget.
如果这个姚明和格利亚比的话呢，那姚明就又成了一个小矮子了。
9 feet 9 inches. Can you picture 9 feet 9 inches?
你能不能想一下哈，就是想一下，就是九尺九到底有多高
？If he were to try to come into this building, he would literally have to duck his head.
就是如果他要想进入这个房子的话，他需要低头的。
But it's more than just his physical resources, although that was very imposing.
而且呢，他不仅是就是他这个体格让人看着就是很明显。
He had battle resources.
而且呢，他还有就是。他打仗，他也有足够的这个资源。
The scripture talks about what he was wearing.
那这个经文呢，就讲了他穿着些什么。
His armor, his weaponry weighed in excess of 700 pounds.
就是他的这个整个的，就是盔甲啊，还有就是要打仗用的这些器械呢，加起来也都超过了700磅。
You picture that he was wearing this elaborate tunic.Made up of hundreds of overlapping bronze fish-like scales.
就想象一下哈，他穿着这个大大的战袍，战袍上满了像鱼鳞似的这样用铜做的这种保护片，这个从头到脚的，大概这个这战袍大概都有蛮重的，100多磅。
It covered his arms and reached down to his knees.
就是整个他的胳膊都被罩着，然后一直到膝盖，全部都是有这个铜片这个盔甲来保护着。
And probably weighed more than 100 pounds.
大概可能要超过100多磅了。
How would you like to go around wearing 100 pounds of clothing?
你想象一下哈，谁愿意穿这个100多磅的衣服走来走去
？It's bad enough if during winter time to wear heavy coat.
就是说冬天的时候穿着大衣你都嫌沉。
But to wear something that's 100 pounds, you could feel like you can't even move.
如果你要再穿一个100磅的衣服，你可能连动都不想动了。
It's sort of like the scene from the movie A Christmas Story.
就有一点像那个就是那个圣诞故事那样的一个场景哈。
And I can relate to this when I was living in back in the Midwest. That your mom would put you in all these heavy clothes to the point that you cannot even move.
就是让我就想起我小的时候，你要是住在那个中西部哈，然后到冬天的时候，妈妈给你穿着一层一层厚厚的冬衣，简直让你都没办法动了。
He had the Goliath had bronze shin guards that protected his legs with attached bronze plates to covering his feet.
然后他呢，就是穿着那个铜的护膝，然后甚至连他的脚都罩着了。
He wore a heavy metal helmet.
然后他也戴着一个很沉的头盔。
And not to forget, he had 3 separate weapons.
而且别忘了，他还有3个可以分别使用的武器。
They're all optimized for close hand-to-hand combat.
而且这个都是很适用于这种近距离的对抗。
One thing he had was a javelin.
那有一个呢，他是戟。
You know, a long spear.
还有一个长长的枪。
It was made entirely of bronze.
整个都是用铜铸的。
Capable of penetrating a shield or even armor.
那这个可以能够穿这个盾牌，甚至盔甲。
He had on his hip a sword.
然后他这个腰上还带着剑。
And then his primary option was a special kind of short-range spear with a metal shaft.
而且他还特别就是 常用的呢是他有一个枪非常的粗枪杆非常粗
In this story, if you notice, the spear is described as like a weaver's beam.
你要是看圣经的经文就讲到呢它这个枪杆的像那个织布的机轴
The head of this spear weighed 600 shekels of iron.
就是然后这个枪头呢重600舍克勒
Do you, putting all this together, doesn't that sound so imposing?
就是把这个全部都放在一起，你是不是觉得很可怕？
That's why you see that the people, Saul and his army, were so intimidated, scared.
所以你就可以想到，当人们看到这样的一个军队过来的时候呢，都非常的害怕，都变得胆小了。
Wouldn't you be scared?
你会不会害怕呢？
9 feet 9 inches with all this weaponry, armor, and he's standing there, and you're shaking your boots.
然后你想一想，他这个9尺9，穿着所有的这样的盔甲，然后手上拿着这些武器，站在对面，那你在那看着就都吓得胆战了。
But we don't want to leave the story there.
但是我们的故事并没有停在这里。
Because there is hope.
因为这还有希望
a little ray of hope
只有一线小小的希望
because I want to talk in the negative terms about his weaknesses
因为我还想跟大家谈一谈就是他的这个弱点
did you notice that Goliath has a shield bearer somebody who holds a shield for him
你有没有记得哈就是这个哥利亚呢有一个拿着盾牌的人走在他的前面
but you might be thinking of all peoplewhy does Goliath need one
那你也许会想这么多人为什么哥利亚需要有一个人在他前面给他拿着盾牌
I'm talking about the shield bearer person that was accompanying him
那我就想谈一谈这个陪着他前面拿着盾牌的这个人
Now in those days shield bearers often accompanied archers into battle because a soldier using a bow and arrow had no free hand to carry any kind of protection on his own
就是在那个当时的时候，那种打仗的时候呢，什么人才会有这个拿盾牌的人在他们前面呢？一般都是弓箭手，就是弓箭手的前面都会有一个拿着盾牌的人。
But why does Goliath, a man calling for sword on sword, single combat, why does he need to be assisted by a third party carrying an archer's shield?
然而，为什么这个哥利亚他是这个一对一要打仗的这种？战士为什么他需要 有一个人拿着盾牌在他的前面呢
Notice in verse 44 what Goliath says to David
你有没有记得就是在第44节哥利亚对大卫说的话
Come to me
他说来吧
Now why can't Goliath go to David
就是他为什么要让那个大卫到他这儿来而不是说他到大卫那儿去
Now look at verse 43
让你看一下那个43节
What Goliath says
就是那个哥利亚说的话
Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?
他说你拿杖到我这里来我岂是狗呢
Now you got to keep in mind maybe you don't think about this but why does he use the word sticks in plural?
就是也许你没想到哈为什么他在这里就是说那个他说的那个词就是拿那个杖，中文里面没有那个复数词，但是其实它就是它用的是复数，就是不止一根杖。
One has to keep in mind that David is only holding one stick.
然而，其实大卫手上只拿了一根杖，但是格利亚呢，他说的是复数，起码是两根杖。
Now I looked this up for information that many medical experts now believe that Goliath had a serious medical condition.
就是。当今的很多这个医生哈，就是认为呢，哥利亚其实是有一个很严重的，就是疾病。
He looks and sounds like someone who is suffering from what is called acromegaly.
就是他看上去，而且他的症状呢也表现，他应该是得了一种叫肢端肥大症的病。
For all you medical students, you maybe could understand this, but it's a disease caused by a benign tumor.Of the pituitary gland.
就是如果你是学医的话，你可能就知道，就是说这个肢端肥大症呢，是因着一些有着良性肿瘤而引起的这个一种疾病。
The tumor causes an overproduction of human growth hormone.
就是因为这种。 个乳瘤呢，就让这个它这个垂腺体过分的分泌，以至于这个分泌出的腺体呢，是让人长大的这种腺体过分。
Which would explain Goliath's extraordinary size.
这也就解释了为什么哥利亚他这个体型上这么的巨大。
I mean, you heard of the condition called giantism, where people are unusually tall, big.
你有没有听说就是一般那种病，就是人就是长得很大个儿。
He probably would fit in this category.
他大概可能就属于那一类的人。
But also, one of the common side effects of acromegaly is vision problems.
就是这个肢端肥大症的人，一般呢都有一个就是病症，就是他们的眼睛有问题。
Specifically, double vision.
就是特别就是说他看东西是双份的。
Why was Goliath led onto the valley floor by an attendant?
就为什么就是哥利亚需要有一个人把他带到这个战场上呢？
Because the attendant was his visual guide.
就是因为那个前面带他的那个人拿着盾牌的那个人呢，是帮他引路的。
It's like the idea, I can't see, I gotta get somebody to help me.
就是觉得，哎呦，那个看不清楚，那所以我得有人帮着我看前面的路。
Why does Goliath move so slowly?
因为什么哥利亚的动作那么慢？
Because the world around him is a blur.
因为呢，这个他周围的环境都看着上去模模糊糊的。
He can't see David until he is close enough.
如果大卫就是必须大卫能到他跟前近一点呢，他才能看得清楚。
When I read this, I thought, I don't feel so bad.
就是我看这一后，哎，我就觉得我没有那么难过了。
I am very nearsighted.
但因为我也挺近视的。
It's not as easy for me to read faraway stuff like signs on the road.
对我来说，就是远一点的那些牌子，我都看不太清楚。
So I don't feel so bad.
这样的话，我也没有觉得那么难过了。
You see, what the Israelites saw from high on the ridge was this intimidating giant.
就是以色列人远远的看着对面的战场上呢，是看到了一个让人害怕的一个巨人。
But in reality, the very thing that gave the giant his size was also the source of his greatest weakness.
然而在实际上呢，就是说，就是让这个给他最强的这个的原因呢，让他是强壮的原因，也是他本身的弱点。
The powerful and the strong are not always what they seem.
就是说，这种他的强有力，常常并不是你表面上看到的那样。
Do you see the lesson here?
你有没有在这里学到功课？
We struggle with these giants of sin that are imposing, that threaten us.
我们因着这些罪的这种巨人，让我们感到害怕，我们担心。
And in your mind, you're thinking they're so imposing, they're impossible to conquer.
就是在你的脑海里，他们太强了，让你觉得你很害怕，你根本无法战胜。
And don't we struggle with some of these things in our own lives?
我们是不是都是在我们的生命中有这样的罪，让我们就是在挣扎？
We could have a stubborn habit in our lives that we know is sin, and we know that that's a giant for us.
也许就是在我们的生命中有一些很顽固的缺点，我们认知它是罪，但是就觉得它非常的难战胜。
But don't we realize that the giant is not what it appears to be?
那我们是不是有没有看到哈？其实这个巨人呢，并不是他表面上看的那么强壮。
Just what in November we had the presidential election.
那我们记得，就是我们十一月份刚刚才有了这个总统选举。
I'm not going to ask you how you voted.
我也不想问你你是怎么选的。
But do you remember that it seemed like a foregone conclusion that Hillary Clinton was going to be president, right?
你记得不记得当时就是觉得根本毫无悬念，就是希拉里会成为总统。
All the media was saying, "Oh, Donald Trump is a weak candidate. He has no chance in the world to win." Right? Remember that?
就是你记得不记得当时所有的主流媒体都说这个 Donald Trump 是一个很弱的这个对手，他根本没有机会可以赢的。
But do you remember that he was even called the underdog?
他甚至被就是称为就是那个败方。
And the media was almost before the election, like having a coronation of her as the president.
就是在还结果都没出来，所有的这个媒体就已经达成了共识，说那个已经叫希拉里为总统了，新总统了。
But you remember there was a weakness on Hillary's part.
但是你有没有记得，就是这个希拉里这边也有她的弱点。
You know what that weakness was?
你知道她的弱点是什么吗？
She was a terrible candidate.
她也是一个很差的这个候选人。
Some people said she didn't seem to have no personality.
有些人说她根本就没有个性。
And then she really didn't talk about the issues, but she just kind of like said, well, I'm like the third term of Obama.
就是因为她呢，好像也没有什么政见，她好像就说，哎，你看我是第三奥巴马第三期。
And therein lies the weakness in her campaign.
所以呢，就是在她的这个竞选里面呢，有她的弱点。
And probably one of the biggest upsets in political history, you have someone who is a novice, who has never run for political office, become president.
就是好像在这个整个这个竞选历史上，就是说，哎，这么一个根本没有这个政治历史或者经历的人，哎，结果就成了总统了。
I'm not saying that he's good or bad, per se, but I'm talking about just the whole idea of the perception of the two candidates.
我并不是说这个，我在这里不是谈论这个总统的好坏，而是说就是从这个竞选这件事情上呢，来反映出来的事情。
You see, we look at this story of David and Goliath, and we think, oh, David, he is the underdog.
那所以我们这个在大卫和歌利亚这个故事里面呢，又看着，哎，这个大卫是弱势的一方。
He might seem like the underdog until you recognize whose God is his.
就是说，你如果还没有认识到就是大卫的神是谁的话呢，你这样看上去你就觉得大卫是这个竞争中的弱势者。
We can look at the physical part that Goliath is so imposing, 9 feet 9 inches tall.
我们如果只是从外面看这个身体的条件的话，这个哥利亚九尺九是有绝对的优势。
But that is like looking at King Saul and thinking that he's qualified to be king because he's so tall and good looking.
就像我们看着以扫，觉得他又高，长得又帅，他就应该是当国王。
But doesn't scripture say that there's more to ruling and leading than just looks?
那你记不记得就是圣经里有话说，就是说，要想做领袖的话，要想作为领导人。
We've looked at Goliath's resources.
那我们刚才看了哥利亚有的这些资源。
Now I want to turn to David's resources.
那现在呢，我就想让大家看一看大卫的他有什么资源。
I'll be looking at ability, motivation, and attitude.
那我想就看呢，看他的能力、他的动机以及他的态度。
The legendary football coach. His name was Lou Holtz, said this.
有一个很就是很传奇式的这个橄榄球的这个教练呢，叫Lou Holtz.
Ability is what you're capable of doing.
他这么说哈，就是能力呢是你现在能够做的事情。
Motivation determines what you do.
动机呢就决定你要去做什么事儿。
Attitude determines how you will do it.
而态度呢，就决定你将怎么样来把这件事做成。Did
you catch that?
你有没有听明白？
Now remember, David, before this happened, he has already been chosen by God to replace Saul as king of Israel.
你记得不记得，就是在这件事情发生之前呢，就是大卫和哥利亚这个打仗之前呢，其实大卫已经被神拣选，要让他代替扫罗做以色列的王的。Saul
had the looks.
就是扫罗长得很好看。
He had the physical stature.
然后他身体也有优势。
But not the spiritual quality needed by God to be king.
然而他却没有神想让这个王所具有的这个属灵的质量。
1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7 says that David was chosen because people judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
就像这个圣经撒母耳记16章7节这样说，这是 说不要看他的外貌和他身材高大，我不拣选他，因为耶和华不像人看人，人是看外貌，耶和华是看内心。
God looks at David in such a way that he calls David a man after his own heart.
就是人，神呢是看人，看人的心，那神说大卫呢是合神心意的人。
That's why when we get to the first resource of in terms of ability,
那所以我们这就看就是他所有的资源的第一条就是能力。
And we can certainly say that David has some really great abilities.
所以我们可以说呢，大卫有一个超凡的能力。
Now, do you recognize the story here?
你记得不记得就是这个故事？
When David volunteers to go and fight the giant because nobody wants to, because everybody's so terrified of Goliath, they don't want anyone to step forward.
就是因为当时的情形是说，因为大家都看着这个哥利亚这巨人非常的可怕，没有人愿意去跟这个非利士人打仗。这个时候呢，这个大卫就来了。
Now, keep this in mind. David knows what's going on.
你要明白这一点哈，就是大卫知道是怎么回事。
And it's like, isn't the army engaging the enemy?
他知道为什么就是说以色列的军队要跟这个非利士人打仗。
Now keep in mind, David is his primary occupation is a shepherd, right?
你记得不记得就是说这个大卫他是一个牧人，是一个牧羊人。
What was David doing at the battle line?
就是大卫他跑去战场上去干什么呢？
Well, he's really a part of a family, I believe it's 8 people.
所以呢，大卫当时呢是在一个家庭里哈，有八口人。
And 8 is, you know, nice lucky number among Chinese culture, right?
对，所以在这个中国文化里面，八是一个好数字。
David goes there, and he's probably the youngest son in the family.
所以大卫呢，大概是这个家里面最小的儿子。
And his older brothers, 3 of them are there in the army.
那他的那些哥哥有三个呢，就是都在这个以色列的军队里面。
And David's father Jesse sends him to the front to basically give some food to his sons.
就是大卫的父亲耶西呢，就派大卫去到战场上呢，大概就是给他们去送点吃的。
I'd like to think that Jesse gave David some bow.
就是说，我想想，可能就是的耶西给大卫给一些包子什么的。
Or upgrade that to yum cha, dim sum, you know.
或者是就是那个早茶啊。
Of course, Scripture says that his father gave him some bread for his brothers.
所以就是因为这个经文里面讲的，就是说让他带一些。面包就是给他的哥哥们。
And I guess you would be hungry and just standing there doing nothing because they were scared to death.
因为他那哥哥大家都快吓死了，站在那儿什么都不能干，但是他们站在那儿也蛮饿的。
And David's father even gave him some cheese to basically give to the commander of over his sons.In the army.
而且呢，他这个父亲还让这小儿子带去一些奶酪，大概就是给这个指挥官的。
Now David might seem brash in terms of volunteering.
那就是大卫在这儿好像要自己去请战呢，有一点好像就是夸大其词。
But I understand where he's coming from.
但是我明白他为什么是。他这么做的这个根本原因。
Because David sees a bigger picture of this.
因为大卫的眼中，这个场景呢有更深远的意义。
It is more than just 2 opposing armies.
不仅仅只是两个对立的军队在打仗。
David sees God, the God of Israel, the living God, a true God, as opposed to this fish god Dagon, which is really no God at all.
就是在大卫的眼中呢，是这个真神创造宇宙万物的这真神来对抗这个鱼形的这个偶像，根本都不是神。
See Saul, if you notice Saul's reaction to David,
你记得不记得就是扫罗对大卫的反应
？It's almost like the reaction of his brothers to David when he comes up to the fight scene.
就是对于这个打仗这个场景呢，就是扫罗对这个大卫的请缨的反应，跟他的这个哥哥们对这个大卫说的话几乎反应是一样的。
His oldest brother, notice what he says. Oldest brother says to David, What are you doing here? You should be going back and tending to the sheep.
就是你记得不记得，就是大卫的大哥是怎么说的？说，哎，你跑这儿来干什么？你怎么不回去看？你应该在那个看看着羊的。
King Saul basically believes that this punk kid was so naive.
就是扫罗呢，就觉得，哎，这可怜这个朋克小孩哈，简直是太天真了。
He's probably like, you don't realize what you're getting yourself into. You're way over your head.
这简直你就那个脑筋都想不清楚，你都不知道你想要做的事儿是什么事儿。
But David had the ability to defeat and conquer the giant.
然而大卫其实是有能力能够打败这个巨人的。
Did you notice in verses 34 to 36 that he shares with Saul that his experience was he's got the background for this. He has fought off bears and lions.
就是你如果注意到在34到36节呢，这个大卫讲他其实是有这个背景能够打败这个巨人的，因为他曾经空手就能够打败熊啊，还有这个狮子。
And all he had was a club and his bare hands.
而他所有的就是这个一个在手里空手的弹弓。
He had snatched, matter of fact, he had snatched lambs that he had protected, and he was a shepherd, from their jaws.
而且他曾经就是空手的，就是在这个狮子的口中来救了他的羊，因为他是个牧人嘛。
Now notice, Saul says to him, well, okay, you're so brash, you go ahead, I'll give you all the equipment and armor you need.
所以你还记得扫罗就说，那好，那我就让你去，然后我给你所有的这些设备，要打仗要用的东西。
In the passage that we read, did you notice he said that he had not tested them?
所以那你记得不记得就是就是在这个里面记得，就是经文里记得，就是说大卫都没有要他那些。
You see, that's not David's style.
就是你要记得，就是他大就是扫罗给大卫的所有的这些东西，根本就不是大卫的这个他使用的。
Can you picture Saul giving him his armor and it's like I can't move kind of thing, you know? Like, no, what am I going to do? I can't move my arm.
所以记得就是说。那个，可以看看当时的场景。大卫就是用这个扫罗给他的那些盔甲呀、啊，什么，敢穿上以后都根本都没办法，都动不了了。
I would like to say it's like you know, remember the famous martial artist and actor Bruce Lee.
你记不记得就是那个李小龙那个电影明星哈，就是武打明星。
He was interviewed once and he says, I'm not one style, I'm like all styles. But David was not that. He was not comfortable wearing this armor. It's so bulky, big, and cumbersome.
对大卫来说，就是穿着那些那么沉重的盔甲根本就不是他的风格。他穿上又感就都是胳膊都手都不能动了，根本都不能走。
In other words, he's telling Saul, it's not me.
那其实总的来说，他就是告诉扫罗说，这也不是我能用的。
So he wasn't just telling Saul this as a testimony to his courage. I'm sure he did.
就是他已经向扫罗来表明了他的能力和勇气。
But to make another point as well.
然后他又把另外一点也说得非常的清楚。
That he intends to fight Goliath the same way he has learned to fight wild animals.
就是他要跟哥利亚去打仗呢，用相同的方式，就像是跟那些野兽搏斗是一样的方式。
As a projectile warrior, I'll explain that.
而作为一个就是弹弓射手来去跟这个哥利亚去打仗。
You see this develop in the story.
你慢慢看的话，就可以看到这个故事是怎么发展的。
But of course, Saul, as well as the rest of his army, only looked at the physical aspect of the battle.
就是作为扫罗和以及他的军队呢。都是看到这个就表面上的这个身体的条件。
Therefore, David's given this armor and helmet and body armor and sword. You see in verse 38 and 39.
所以呢，你就看到他们给大卫呢，就是给他铜的盔甲呀，这个还有头盔，给他这些个剑，都是好像他们表面上看应该打仗应该是用什么。
But that's not him or his style of fighting.
然而这个却不是大卫。也不是大卫要打仗的所用的方式。
All he needed was his staff, some stones, and his sling.
就是所以就是大卫所需要的呢，就是他的杖以及他手里面的这个弹弓和几块光滑的石头。
He is then comfortable with and how he's going to approach the giant.
所以他这样的话呢，他怎么样去接近这个巨人呢？是他觉得很自然的一个方式。
But keep in mind, it's not just solely in his ability.
要记得哈，他不仅仅的只是靠他自己的能力。
Keep in mind that he knew where his ability came from.
要记得哈，他知道，大卫知道他的能力是从哪儿来。
When you've got abilities, gifts, talents, do you recognize that all that God is really all that God has given you?
如果你有没有意识到你所有的能力呀、才能，其实这些都来自于神，是神给你的。
Are you using it for God's glory?
你是不是把它使用在荣耀神上面？
Are you doing it to please Him?
你是不是使用它来就是讨神的喜悦？
Notice also the second aspect of David's resources.The motivation.
然后我们再看一看哈，就是大卫的第二个资源，就是他的动机。
1 Samuel 17:37 says, "The Lord, David speaking here, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will certainly deliver me from the hand of this Philistine."
你记得你要看哈，在这个撒母耳记上17:37呢，大卫是这么说的：耶和华救我脱离狮子和熊的爪，也必救我脱离这非利士人的手。
When a person has a heart for God, they recognize where their abilities come from.
就是当人如果他的心向着神的话呢，他就知道他的能力是从哪儿来的。
When a person has a heart for God, there's a power within him or her to be able to accomplish great things for God.
就是当一个人的心向着神的话，他就会有从神而来的力量。
Matter of fact.Kind of change that all around in the idea that I want. Do you say I want to do things for a great God?
就是你看看，就是说你是不是认识到这个的力量？就是我做这个大事是要荣耀神。
Verses 46 and 47, David says, "This day the Lord will deliver you." He's talking to Goliath. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand.
就是你记不记得后面大卫呢？就给这个非利士人说，就是我要，就是这。今天呢，就是要神要得荣耀。
That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all His assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. And catch this line: for the battle is not mine, but it's the Lord's.
他要知道呢，让普天下的人都知道呢，是以色列中人有神，就是打仗呢，不是是耶和华使人得胜，不是用刀用枪。这个胜败全部在乎耶和华。
And he will give you into our hand.
他必将你们交在我们手里。
It's not he may give you, but he will. There's that 100% degree of certainty that it will be happening.
他不是说他可能，而是说他必将，就是是100%，他就要把你们交在我们的手里。
See, it's not for self-recognition that David's doing this, but to declare that it's the Lord that's going to rescue his people, that he will get the glory.
他在这里不是说他自我的意识说我要打败，而是说是神必将你们交在我们手里，神要战胜你们。
What's his motivation here?
你看到他这里头的动机是什么？
David is enraged. See this in verse 26.
就是在这里头呢，就是大卫非常的生气，你就看到第26节。
Because in verse 10, Goliath says that I defy the ranks of Israel, which is basically slamming God.
就是你记得那个哥利亚在前面，就是说他要打败这个以色列的神，就是他在那里，来就是辱骂神。
Your God is so weak.
还有就是你的神很弱。
And I can see this through your army here that is so frightened that they're chickening out.
因为我看你们这军队都胆小了，根本都打不过我，所以你的神也是软弱的。
But look at the response of Saul and his army when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine. They were dismayed and greatly afraid.
就你看，就是当时扫罗以及他的军队的反应，就是听了这个话以后，他们都大大的害惧怕。
You see, David's motivation to kill the giant was to show God's great power.
就你看在这地方哈，就是大卫他要杀这个巨人呢，就是要向他们彰显。这个永生神的能力。
And when a person has a heart for God, serving Him is the motivation in everything they do.
所以当这个人心向着神的话，的时候呢，那就是服侍神，荣耀神的名是他的动机。
Did you notice that also? This is, an, I think, in David's mind, it's an opportunity to serve his fellow soldiers there.
那你也看，就是说，这个大卫的心里还有一个，就是说，来服侍这个其他众军士，就是别的士兵的。
That if Goliath, as imposing as he is conquered, that this army will be inspired, the Israel's army will be inspired to basically defeat the Philistine army.
那就是说，那所以他这个整个的这个军队的人呢，也因着这个大卫的心境呢，他们也有了勇气，就可以来打败非利士的部队。Did
you realize this underlines a verse in the New Testament?
你记得不记得，就是其实在新约里，也有这样，就是这个背景的经文。And
how we serve God, it should inspire other people to serve Him.
所以就是说，我们如何服侍神呢？也能够激励周围的人如何的来服侍。Whether
it's Pastor Lee or anyone who's hosting or leading singing, it should inspire us to look toward God and hopefully to serve Him.
就是不论就是谁在这里带领唱诗的时候呢，能够希望带着大家一起能够激发出服侍神这样的想法。Hebrews
10:24 says, Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works.
就是在希伯来书十章二十四节这么样说，又要彼此相互激发爱心，勉励行善。
That's what we should be doing as part of the body of Christ, as a church.
所以作为教会，我们作为神的肢体的一部分呢，这就是我们该做的事情。
You know that David motivated the entire Israeli army to attack and destroy the Philistines.
所以就是大卫在这里呢，就激励整个的以色列的军队来能够来去打败，完全的来打败以非利士人的部队。They
see that David has the guts to go out and to seek to conquer Goliath. That motivates the army to say, if he can do it, we can do it.
所以就是因为大卫在这里，因为他有勇气，他站出来，他有要打败这个巨人哥利亚的勇气，这样也激励了其他的以色列的士兵，觉得大卫能这么做，那我也可以起来来打败非利士人的部队。Motivation
is designed to be contagious if administered correctly.
所以在这个动机上面，这个动机是能够传染的，特别就是在这个服侍的施工上面。The
third part of David's resources is attitude.
那第三点，这个大卫所有的资源呢，就是他的态度。David
had the proper attitude when he killed the giant.
所以大卫呢，就是具有能够打败这个巨人的合宜的态度。Notice
two things.
你注意到有两点。David
is fully aware of the source of victory.
首先呢，大卫是完完全全的明白，就是这个胜利的这个源泉在哪里。He
came in the name of the Lord. Notice that he didn't come in his own name. He came in the name of the Lord to represent him.
你记得不记得，就是大卫说是说我是奉着神的主的名来的。The
Lord will conquer you, your army, your so-called God.
就是说，我的神会战胜你。 会战胜你的人，也会就是这是神的战争。The
Lord will rescue His people, for this is the Lord's battle.
就是神要解救他的民，因为这个战争是神的战争。See,
David recognized something that everyone else was missing.
就是你要知道大卫在这里注意到的这个点，这一点呢是大家都没有注意到的。It
is not only a physical battle.
这不仅仅只是一个就是体格上的征战，but
a spiritual battle also.
而且也是一个属灵的征战。Saul
and his men weren't prepared to fight because they didn't have a heart for God.
因为扫罗和他的人呢，没有这个向着神的心，所以他们没有对这个战争做好准备。Their
heart was selfish and uncaring.
那他们的心呢，很自私，也不没有关爱。
They didn't care whether God's name was being blasphemed, God's name was being used in vain. They didn't care whether that people are saying bad things about God.
因为他们不关心就是神的名被污蔑, 他们也不关心，就是人家在那里讲神的坏话。
They were actually content to just stand there on the mountaintop and allow God's name to be defiled.
他们能做的事情就是站在对面的山顶上，允许神的名被污蔑。
And when, but remember, I said that David was commended by God as someone after His own heart.
就你记得不记得哈？大卫被神的就是评语呢，就是说那个合神心意的人。
And David's heart was seeking God constantly.
因为大卫的心呢，就是不断的来在寻求神的心意。
It doesn't mean that David was perfect. He messed up so many times in his life.
就是这并不是说哈，大卫是一个完全的人。大卫的这一生呢，也犯了很多这个很致命的错误。
Remember, David was not a great father.
你要记得哈，大卫并不是一个好父亲。
He was the head of a real dysfunctional family.
要知道哈，他是一个家庭的头，但是他这个家庭真的是有一点乱七八糟。
You can almost picture this being in a TV soap opera.
你甚至都可以想到他们家就像一个肥皂剧一样。
And David sinned personally. Remember, he committed adultery and conspired to get rid of the husband, a loyal soldier of this woman that he lusted after.
就是你记不记得，而且大卫本身也犯了很致命的这个奸淫罪，就是他为了就是和一个夫人行奸淫呢，他甚至把这个夫人的丈夫，这丈夫是对他这个大卫王非常忠心的一个战士，甚至让他牺牲了他的生命。
But you remember when the prophet Nathan confronted him, he repented.
那你记得不记得，当这个先知拿单来挑战他的时候呢，那大卫就认罪了。
Did you notice also David ran to meet Goliath?
你还记得不记得，就是大卫跑着过去来，就是来迎战哥利亚。
Did you notice he could run, first of all?
你先想一想哈，就是可以跑的。
He doesn't have that bulky, hindering army. He has that speed and maneuverability to run to Goliath.
所以你知道哈，因为他呢没有那个穿那些特别重的繁杂的这个盔甲，所以他就能够跑，他也有这种机动灵活性。
He didn't hesitate.
而且他也没有犹豫。
All it took was Goliath taking one step toward him, and David attacked.
就是所有的场景，就是说这个哥利亚呢刚迈了一步，这个大卫就已经冲过去，已经就是攻击了。
When a person has a heart for God, they don't need to fear what life offers them.
就是当一个人的心如果向着神的话呢，他就根本不怕，就是说这个生活中会给他带来什么。
We don't have to be afraid to live for Jesus Christ, do we?
我们为了耶稣基督而活，我们就不会有恐惧。
We will seek to be proactive and to seek to be up there, out there, to be able to seek to live for Christ, to represent Him, to tell people about His name.
所以我们可以积极主动的奉耶稣基督的名而活，然后去积极主动的来宣传这个福音。
Did you notice that the scripture reading we kind of ended before the actual battle that we're all familiar with?
那你记不记得我们这个读经的最后呢，就是这个战争的最后。
I want to tell you about the rest of the story.
那我想给大家讲一下这个后面的故事。
Can you picture David putting a rock into a sling? Now, this is not the kind of slingshot, you know, that kind of looks like a Y-shaped kind of thing. That's not that kind of thing.
就是你可不可以想象到，就是大卫当时怎么样，就是用这个弹弓哈？这个并不是咱们想的那种小孩用的弹弓，把一个石头放在这个弹弓里面，这样一拉就打出去。
I picture this strong piece of cloth that kind of a circular kind of a form.
我能够想象的呢，是一个很就是强有力的一个像布一个兜一样的一个这个部分，然后把这个石头放进去。
And he puts a rock into the sling.
然后他就把这个石头呢放在这个弹弓里面。
And he whips it around and around and around.
然后他就使劲拿着这个弹弓呢，就这样使劲的绕圈。
Now I remember when I was in Sunday school years ago when I was a kid, I remember the song. I don't know if you remember the song about David and killing the giant. And we do the hand motions, and we go round and around, and kind of round and round, and we let go.
就是我还记得我小的时候在主日学的时候，就唱那个大卫打和哥利亚打仗的故事。我们就做这个手上的动作， 这样转来转去，就是这因为大卫呢把这石头放在弹弓里绕了五六圈。
But I think David whipped that thing a lot faster than we did.
但是我觉得那大卫绕起来一定是比我们绕得快了很多。
I think what people speculated that when he whipped that thing around, it was like 6 or 7 revolutions per second. I don't know how, I can't even picture that, but that's how it was.
就是人们现在就是当时就说是当时的场景，就是大卫就是在这个扔这个石头的时候呢，这个一秒钟大概转了五六圈。
And remember, I said that David was used to being a projectile warrior. This is what the idea is that he used that sling particularly.
所以你要知道，这大卫呢，他就是很擅长于，他是一个就是弹弓射击手，所以他那个速度非常的快。
David knew where Goliath's weak spot was.
那大卫呢是知道就是哥利亚的软弱点在哪里。
Do you know where that is?
你知道在哪里吗？
Right here, the forehead.
就是前额，就是前额这个地方。
Now, I've played basketball and church leagues, and there are times where somebody deflects a basketball and hit me right here.
说，我以前曾经在教会也打过篮球，那有一次也有这样，就是这个篮球正好就打在我的前额上。
And I've gone through a few pairs of glasses.
然后那有好几回，就是好几副眼镜都是这么打坏的。
David knew Goliath's weak spot.
所以大卫呢是知道哥利亚的这个弱点在哪里。
It's the giant's only point of vulnerability.
那就是这个巨人的唯一的一个弱点。
This is something interesting. A ballistics expert with the Israeli Defense Forces, Eitan Hirsch.
就是有一位叫 Eitan Hirsch 的，这一位呢是以色列的这个就是国防部的，他呢就是做了一个，他是个弹道的专家，他说了这样一句话。
He recently did a series of calculations showing that a typical size stone hurled by an expert slinger at a distance of 35 meters would have hit Goliath's head with a velocity of 34 meters per second.
他就是做了一些计算，他就说作为一个如果是个专业的这个弹弓手，这样子把一个就是一个正常尺寸的石头用这个弹弓射出去呢。如果是在35米这样的一个距离的话，那他达到这个哥利亚的这个前额的时候，那这速度呢是每秒钟34米的这样的速度。
More than enough to penetrate his skull and render him unconscious or dead.
这个速度呢，足够就是能够打伤这个哥利亚的这个前额，让他能够成为昏迷或者死亡。
In terms of stopping power, that's equivalent to a fair-sized modern handgun.
所以如果要是做一个这个这个强度的比较的话呢，就跟我们现代的这种手枪的一个正常尺寸的手枪那个的子弹是一样的穿透力。
But we need to bring it back to where it needs to be.
那我们当然要回到我们需要回到的地方。
Don't think it's just all his ability.
不要只想这是大卫的能力。
Keep in mind what David said before he slayed the giant.
要记得就是大卫在这个攻打这个巨人之前说的话。
Verse 45-46, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts.
他说你是拿着这个刀枪剑戟来的，我是奉着神的名来的。
It's like this massive army, the Lord of hosts. I think that's where we get the phrase El Shaddai.
所以他这边讲的就是说，他是奉着，就是他是耶和华的军队。
In the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied.
就是说，因为这个，你是那个，你侮辱了这个以色列的神。
This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand.
所以今天。就是我们的神就必将你们交在我们手里。
How big is your God?
你的神有多大？
We have to recognize that the God that we believe in, the God of the Bible here, is greater than any enemies, any giants that we face in our lives.
我们一定要记住，我们的神呢，比这世上的一切都大，比任何的这个巨人都要大。
He is the true and living God.
他是真正的是活神。
All those gods out there in the world, they're false gods.
所有这个世上的其他的神全都是假神。
They're not real.
他们不是真的。
But they may terrorize you.
也许他们会就是让你害怕。
Particularly when we are called, we're tempted or caused to sin.
特别是如果我们因着那些而犯罪的话，我们就会觉得他很可怕。
But we have a great God.
但是我们有一个很伟大的神。
The soldier's psalm has been called well, actually Psalm 91 has been called the soldier's psalm.
就是诗篇的九十一篇呢，被称为士兵之歌。
In World War I, the 91st Brigade recited the 91st Psalm daily.
就是在这个一战过程中呢，就是九十一旅每天都会来研，就是诵读诗篇九十一篇。
This brigade engaged in three of the world's bloodiest war's bloodiest battles.
就是这个旅呢，就是在这个一战当中呢，曾经有三次来就是很艰巨的斗争。
Other units suffered up to 90% casualties.
其他的部队都就是丧失了超过90%以上的人。
But the 91st Brigade didn't suffer a single combat-related death. Isn't that amazing?
然而就是九十一旅哈，经过这样的三场就是浴血奋战，他们却没有一个士兵是在这种正面交战当中失去生命的。
I'm not saying that by memorizing or reading this psalm that somehow you automatically be saved from death.
就是是不是非常的这个奇妙？但是我并不是在这里说，就是说这个背诵诗篇九十一篇真的就是有这样奇妙的功用，让你能够不失去生命。
But I believe the soldiers of the 91st Brigade they could trust God through this psalm. For whatever happens.
我是想讲的是，这些背诵诗篇九十一篇的士兵们，他们带着这样的信念，他们信靠神，不论这个是有什么样的结果，他们都信靠神。
I'm just going to read the first couple verses.
我只想来读一读前面的几节。
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Now keep in mind, this is David who has written this psalm. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
我们记得哈，这个诗篇九十一篇呢是大卫写的哈，他这么说：住在至高者隐秘处的，必住在全能者的荫下。
I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust.
我要论到耶和华说，你是我的避难所，是我的山寨，是我的神，是我所依靠的。
Didn't David say in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I think he pictured back before when this happened with Goliath, that I will fear no evil. For thou, God, is with me.
就是你记得不记得，就是在诗篇二十三篇也是大卫说的，我走过死亡的幽谷，也不怕遭害，因为所以就你想，这是在就是大卫去征战之前他所想到的。
I want you to think about these questions I'll pose in addition to the ones that I've given you in for your bulletin. What are the abilities that God has given you?
所以我想让大家呢都就是看一看这周报里面讲的这些就是一些问题哈，那也想大家来思考一下，就是说神给了你什么样的能力。
I'm not just talking about spiritual. How about if you're going to be a doctor, lawyer, engineer, teacher? Those are abilities God has given you, right?
我不仅仅讲的是这种属灵上的能力，而是说不管你是个医生，你是个律师，你是一个工程师，或者不管你怎么样，这些东西，这些能力不都是神给你的吗？
Do you use them to glorify him or are trying to seek glory for yourself?
你有没有用这些东西来荣耀他，或者你是用这些东西来荣耀我们自己？
What motivates you to move forward just like David did? He was aggressive in going to attack Goliath.
什么东西来激励你向前的动机？是不是像这个大卫一样来就是去和格利亚交战的时候，他的动机是不是一样的？
Are you motivated to please God, or are you just doing it for your own selfish motives?
你的动机是要来取悦神呢，还是说你自己非常自私的一些渴望？
Finally, what is your attitude toward God?
最终就是说你对神的态度是什么呢？
Do you trust him implicitly with your life?
你是不是你全身心的把你的生命交给他，这样的来信靠他？
Or do you doubt that he will be there in our time of need?
或者是说在你有需要的时候你怀疑他是不是来帮助你。
That's a lesson we can learn from David.
这个呢就是我们今天要向大卫所学的功课。
He could trust God.
他可以信靠神。
He wanted to vindicate God's name. He wanted to go out there and not just vindicate it but glorify him.
他要让神的名得胜，不仅仅是得胜，他要使神的名得荣耀。
And he will let no giant stand in the way of what God wants to do.
他不让这个巨人来站在就是以神的名要成就的事的这个路上。
I want you to think about this in terms of your own life.
我想让你们呢都在把这个故事呢带到你自己的生活当中。
If you're struggling with something in your life, that might be the giant.
如果你现在的生活正好有一些挣扎的话呢，这个可能就是你生命中的巨人。
Particularly if it's a sinful, stubborn habit in your life.
特别如果这个是一个非常顽固的，带有罪性的一个习惯。
If you will seek to trust God,
如果你去寻求来信靠神。
And the New Testament says if you will follow the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit guide and lead you.
就像在新约中所记载的，你要让神的灵，神的这个活灵来引导你。
He will deliver you.
他会使你得胜。
Let's pray.
让我们来祷告。
Heavenly Father.
哦，亲爱的天父。
We were so familiar with the story of David and Goliath.
我们非常的熟悉大卫和歌利亚这个故事。
And maybe we think it's just a story.
也许我们认为它只是一个故事。